Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. Our congregation and myself would like to take this opportunity to thank you for listening to the sermon today. Our prayer is that the message will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you is our prayer.
All right, good to see you. Revelation 16. Let's begin reading in verse number 16 again as we did last Lord's Day. This will be our launching pad. I'm just going to finish this chapter by the help of the Lord, and hopefully it'll be a real blessing to your heart, and we'll get some spiritual help through the Word of God today. Revelation 16, John's writing these words. He is inspired of God Himself. God is the author of the book of Revelation. John is just a writer. Don't ever forget that. Every book, 66 books of the Bible, was authored by God. God just used these writers as His pen, and they penned down the words of God. And these words are inspired, by the way. Amen. And so the Bible says in verse 16, it says we're dealing with the latter part of the tribulation period. It says, and He, speaking of Jesus Christ, He's in charge during this time. He's never been in charge, even in the tribulation period when all hell is breaking loose. And He gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And He gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Let's pray together, and please pray for the preacher today. Lord, we love You. I pray that in Christ's name You'll use me for Thy glory. I pray You'll not refuse me today. Surely there's a work that You can do through me today. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, may You take preeminence, and may You, Lord, bring order. May You bring encouragement. May You bring edification, exhortation, Lord, to our hearts today. And, Lord, may we uplift Jesus, Lord, in this service today. Thank You for those that's worked hard to make this service possible. Lord, there are those that have worked, Lord, on our property. There are those that have worked by cleaning the buildings, and there's been those that have prayed and invited, and they're here today, and a little later they'll give financially to continue, Lord, the work of God here at 5505 Hog Mountain Road. So, Lord, we thank You for all that's been done. But more than anybody, Lord, we thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. And we ask You, Lord, that You'd help us, and we'll thank You and praise You. Help Miss Angie as she works with our precious children. Lord, may You save them at a very early age. Thank You, Lord, last week, Lord, a week ago, for saving Lord Isis. Thank You for dealing with her heart. Lord, use our children, our teens, for Thy glory. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. Thanks. You can be seated this morning. I hope that you got a Bible there in your lap, in your hands. If you don't, there's one, should be one there, located there in the pew in front of you. Now, I just want to just take a quick moment and back up and refresh your memory. And for those that were not here last Lord's Day, try to give them a little understanding where we are in the 16th chapter of the book of Revelation. We began last week in chapter 14, or the latter part of chapter 14, and we read the scripture concerning the death toll and concerning the blood that will flow in the streets of earthly Jerusalem. And we read of how the Bible says that it will be as high as a horse's bridle, which is about 3 foot deep. And it'll be, the Bible says, 1,600 furlongs, which is actually 200 miles long. And there's a lot of commentaries, there's a lot of ministers that try to say that this is just a symbolic of just how devastating the war will be, the blast war, the battle of Armageddon. But I believe the Bible, and I believe what the Bible says, amen. And we got to chapter 15. In chapter 15 of Revelation, we see the unleashing of the seven angels. And the Bible tells us that each angel has a plague, and they're commissioned to pour these plagues out upon the earth during the latter part of the 7-year tribulation period. We got into chapter number 16, and we dealt with the first three, I believe, plagues that would be poured out. You remember that in verse number 2, the Bible says the first angel went out, and the first angel poured out the plague upon man and upon women that were worshiping the beast. The Bible is very specific that this plague was for those that had worshipped the false Christ. They had worshipped not the true Christ, but the false Christ. And the Bible says that this plague would be a grievous sore upon their body. And, of course, it would be a very offensive sore because it would be a very smelly sore. And it would be a very painful sore. And we talked about how that their type of worship did not lead. It did not bring rest. It did not bring peace. It did not bring joy. The only worship that will bring joy to your heart is worshiping a true Christ. Can I get a witness? Worshiping a false Christ, worshiping yourself, worshiping other things besides the Lord will not bring peace in your life. It will not bring joy in your life. Amen and amen. And so the Bible says the first angel came and poured his plague upon men that had denied the Lord, and they took the mark of the false Christ. Verse number 3, we see the second angel. The second angel has been commissioned. He is only coming after the first angel has completed his mission. Now the second angel comes and he pours out the second plague. And of course the second plague was to cause the sea, the salty sea, the oceans of the world to become as blood. And we talked about, the Bible says that it was just not blood of a living man, but verse 3 says it's the blood of a dead man. And we talked about what the blood of a dead man means and how that it congeals and how that the ships and the boats that will be out in the sea will no longer be able to sail and how that men will die in their ships, not able to reach land. We talked about all the sea life during this time will die because of the thickness of the bloody water. They'll not be able to breathe. And so it's a devastating time. Understand, this is the judgment of God upon those that have rejected the blood of His only begotten Son. And because they have rejected the precious, priceless, purifying blood of Jesus Christ, now they are living here with blood all around them of a dead man. In verse number 4, we read about the third angel has been released. And this third angel is released, and he is to pour out his plague upon the fresh waters, upon the fountains of waters. And the Bible says there that the fountains of the water became blood in verse number 4. By the time you end verse number 4, you see that good hygiene is gone. Fresh water is practically gone. You see now that not only is the salt water turned to blood, but now the fresh water is turned to blood. And with all that devastation, we have verse number 5. The Bible says, I heard the angels of the water say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they, speaking of the ungodly, the wicked during the time of the tribulation period, those that have followed or will follow the false Christ, it says they shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for thou art worthy. The Bible says because they will try to slaughter the 144,000 virgin Jewish preachers, and they will slaughter the two great witnesses that will be coming during the tribulation period. Don't know who they are. Some folks say it's Moses. Some say it's Elijah. Some say it's got to be John the Baptist. Or let's say it's Enoch or Moses or Enoch and Elijah. And a lot of folks got an opinion. Don't know who they are, but I do know they're coming. Amen. And the Bible says that they'll slaughter them. And the Bible says because they were thirsty for blood, that's exactly what God's going to give them. And the Bible says because of all this devastation, because of all this hell that God is allowing to be let loose upon this earth during the tribulation period, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is worthy in what He's doing. It says that what He was doing is very much worthy to be accomplished. Now we get into verse number 7, and here's where we take off. We begin to see in verse 7 and 8 a fourth angel. We're talking about the seven angels in chapter 15. The Bible says, I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. Oh, you know, you and I will say true and righteous is His love. True and righteous is His mercy. True and righteous is His compassion. True and righteous are His blessings. But here in the tribulation period, the message will be true and righteous is the judgments of God. There'll be no one in hell that'll point a finger at Almighty God and say, You've been unjust to me. You've been unholy to me. You didn't treat me fair. Nobody will ever have the opportunity to do that because they can't do that. Because the judgments of God are worthy and they're righteous. The Bible plainly says in, 1 John 5:19, He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. John chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 14 that as even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He was lifted up on a cross, was he not? Can I get a witness? He was lifted up at Golgotha's hill. And the Bible says, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible says that God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But yet it says this is the condemnation, that men love darkness. Are you listening to me? Rather than light. They love their sin more than they love Jesus. They love the dark more than the light of the gospel. And because of that, their deeds were evil. And the Bible says because of their sin, they'll be condemned by the judgment of a holy God. Verse number 8, the fourth angel is now summons. It's now time for him to fly and to unveil his plague that he's been commissioned to pour out. And notice this, you got your Bibles open, can I get amen? Verse 8, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. Here comes angel number 4. By the way, I don't know if you're sitting there thinking this is a big old fairy tale. It's not a fairy tale. It's God's Word. We know that all these channels on our satellite and our cable networks, they like to have shows where they show what they believe will happen in the last days, and people will watch that and they'll believe that. Well, I've got the Bible. I believe the Bible. Amen. God is telling us what is going to go on in the tribulation period, and this is the latter part of the 7-year tribulation period. The Antichrist has then raised himself up and proclaimed himself to be God. He is causing people by the false prophet to worship him. It's the abomination of desolation the Bible speaks of in the book of Daniel. And all hell is breaking loose. Satan has poured his wrath upon the 144,000 witnesses. Satan has poured his wrath upon the two great witnesses of God. And now God is taking his turn. And he is pouring his wrath out upon those that have rejected his Son for salvation. Comes here in the seventh seal with the 7 angels, and each angel has a plague. And this angel comes, and the Bible says that he pours his judgment out upon the sun. Can I say to you a couple facts about the sun? Think about the magnitude of the S-U-N. Do you know that the S-U-N is about 3 million miles away from the earth? Go outside today, look towards the sun, and it seems like it's just maybe 1,000 miles, but not no 3 million miles. The reason it looks to be so close is because it's so huge. Do you know that it is believed that you could stick 1 million Earths inside the sun? 1 million planet Earths would fit inside the sun. What a source of light and energy that God has given Earth. And I thought about how the Bible says that men will be scorched. And when it referenced to men, it's those that have rejected Jesus. They will be scorched by the heat of the sun. I read one time where scientists say that if the sun was to move forward less than a foot, it would bring such extreme heat to this earth that many, many would die from the heat. I also read that if the sun would back up just less than a foot. Are you with me today? Oh, what a creator we serve. If the sun were to back up just about less than a foot from the earth, that it would bring such extreme freezing weather that many, many, many people would die. God has everything in order, don't he? I mentioned Wednesday night how many in the Catholic Church thought that the earth was the center of the universe. And how that they thought that it has to be the earth. This is where we live. We've got to be the center. And still, folks believe that today. They're the center of everything. But it was the sun. It is the sun that God placed in the center of the universe, and God placed that big old ball of fire there, and it reflects off, its rays reflect off the moon at night, and it reflects off the stars at night so we can have some light. God's got it all in order, amen. And He's got the sun placed just perfectly where it needs to be in relation to you and I living on earth. But the Bible says here that men will die from the great heat. I want you, if you got a pen, right beside that verse, write down this reference, Isaiah 30, verse 26. And I want you in a little bit, and I know someone's going to do it right now while I'm preaching, and I'll forgive you for doing that. But Isaiah chapter 30, verse 26, I believe it gives reference to this particular plague, this fourth plague. Isaiah was commissioned by God that one day the sun's heat will be magnified seven times. I wrote this down and just kind of give you an idea what that means. Let's say a summery day in Flowery Branch in this Hall County area would be, let's say, 95 degrees. That'd be pretty accurate on a hot August day, 95 degrees. You magnify that seven times, and that is 665 degrees. Isaiah said that God said the heat will magnify seven times what we're used to. And that's just an example of 95 degrees at 665 degrees. No wonder it will scorch men with great heat. But notice what it says here. The Bible says in verse number 9, one of the saddest verses in all the Bible, not the saddest, but one of the saddest. And men were scorched with great heat and blaspheme the name of God. They blaspheme God. Who is God? The Bible says He had the power over the plagues. And they repented not to give Him the glory. Three things they do. Three things wicked sinners will do during tribulation period when that sun's heat is magnified seven times. Number one, they will blaspheme God. That means to speak sinful or irreverently towards God. That doesn't surprise me because they're doing that right now. They do that today. They'll blaspheme God. Number two, they won't repent. Are you with me? That blows my mind. That the Bible says it's God that is bringing these plagues upon wicked men and women because they will not trust the true Christ, but they're following after the false Christ. And the Bible says that they'll blaspheme God. They will curse God. They will speak irreverently of God. And then the Bible says they will not repent. They will not turn and humbly fall upon their knees in the face and say, "Oh God, I'm a sinner. Oh God, forgive me." Brother Calvin just said a while ago, he made a statement. He said it was one of the most humbling experiences ever in his life. I tell you, when you really get born again, when you really realize that you're lost and you're on your way to a devil's hell, you won't be chewing your bubble gum and blowing your bubbles and think, "God needs me in church. God needs me to do His work." You'll come down crying. You'll come down with a broken heart. You'll say, "God, I'm nothing but a sinner. I'm on my way to hell. Lord, I ask You to forgive me. Come into my life. I trust Your death, Your burial, and Your resurrection for my salvation." You will come to Him humbly, or you won't come to Him at all. And they repented not. And then the third thing they did is they wouldn't give Him the glory. I wonder how many sitting in the pews this morning, you're guilty of that sin already. You didn't give Him glory this morning. God did something great for you, and maybe in the last day or two, and you didn't stop long enough to say, "Thank You, Jesus. Thank you." Somebody bragged on your Sunday school lesson. Somebody bragged on your preaching. Somebody bragged on just your good work, and you didn't say, "Praise the Lord." If it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't be able to do nothing. He gives me the strength to do it. He's gave me the mind to be educated and to learn. And I'm telling you what, we are living in a day and age, number one, they are blaspheming God. Can I get a witness? Don't act like you live in Jupiter. You know what I'm talking about. They're blaspheming God. Number two, they're not repenting of their sins. And number three, are you with me? Number three, they're not giving God the glory. Oh, my. You know the Bible says what's going on here. There's a prophecy being fulfilled, Brother Tim Holloway. You know what the prophecy is that's being fulfilled during this time? The Bible says the wicked shall be cut off as the blade of grass. The Bible says all nations that forget God will be turned into hell. I'm telling you what, God's judgment is going to fall. John 3:36, it says that he that believeth on the Son, the Bible says he has eternal life, but he that believeth not does not have life, but the wrath of God abideth on his head. Friend, if you're lost today, if you're lost on your way to hell, you're walking around as if, let me give you a picture, you're walking around with a 10,000 pound of cement just feet away from the top of your head, and it takes a cut from a knife or just a pair of scissors to cut that, and that weight's going to come down on you. The Bible says there's a day that the wrath of God will come down on you. But thank God that Jesus Christ took our wrath at Calvary. And if we would only accept Him, then we'd be saved forever. I must hurry so I can close. Notice what it says. They blaspheme God. Can I say this to you, Christian? Preacher, there's nothing about Christianity here. Sure there is. I think there's a good point here. When the heat got turned up, we see their reaction. Come on, need some help. Joseph, when the heat got turned up, we saw how they reacted. Can I say to you, Christian, when the heat gets turned up in our life and we don't act Christian-like, we come out with a bitter spirit. We come out with complaining, bickering, fussing, blaming God. Come on now. I know I'm getting close to corn right now, but we'll have an altar call here in a little bit. But I'm telling you, when the heat gets turned up, what's on the inside always comes out. That's why we've got to be careful. That's why whenever we go through hard times and we get mad and bitter, then we better get our heart right because our heart's not right. It's as if you would take a moon pie. Let's say someone never ever knows what a moon pie is. Maybe we got kids in the church don't know what a moon pie is. Amen. But take a moon pie and we can say, do you know what's inside that moon pie? And they've got it coated and got those two, one cookie on the top, one on the bottom, and you can't tell what's on the inside. But if you take that moon pie and you put it in a microwave, and you put it in that microwave, and you, after so many seconds, according to what kind of powered microwave you have, it might take 30 seconds. Some of you microwaves, some might take a minute in some of the other microwaves, but eventually what's in that moon pie starts spilling out. Come on now, I need a witness. You take an Oreo cookie and you just heat it just a little bit, then take your hand and smash that Oreo cookie, and what's on the inside of that cookie comes out. And that's what's happening. Trials smash us. And they burn us. And the heat gets turned up in our life. And what's on the inside will always come out. And so we need to examine our own hearts in the midst of trials. We need to examine if our heart is right, because trials and troubles and problems and heartaches will always show you what's in your heart. And oh, God may help us to give Him the glory and repent of our sins and not sin against God during the times when the heat is turned up in our life. Fifth angel, verse number 10, he pours out his plague. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. The seat of the beast is referring to the capital city or the government capital of the false Christ. The beast, of course, is the false Christ. And he is the false Christ kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain. Can I say a couple things before we jump to verse number 11 about this plague, this fifth plague? The Bible says that darkness, God will allow utter darkness to fill the followers and the city, the capital city of this time, of the false Christ. I thought about, you know that this is the exact same plague in Exodus chapter number 10, the ninth plague that God allowed Moses to bring upon Egypt. Do you remember that story? The Bible says that the ninth plague on the Egyptians and Pharaoh, when they would not let the Jews go, when they were persecuting the Jews, the ninth plague was utter darkness. And it was utter darkness for 3 days. 3 days. And I don't go there, but you go to Exodus chapter number 10, 21, right beside that scripture. Cross-reference with it. But it says that they could not go anywhere. They could not do nothing because they couldn't see. It was utter darkness. I want to ask you a question. You know what? We're fixing to get into the wintertime, and we might get some ice, sleet, snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Are you dreaming of one? I am. I like white Christmases. But I think last year in South Carolina, we woke up, and was Christmas on Sunday last year, or was it Christmas Eve? Saturday. And so we woke up, and Sunday it snowed. It snowed here Saturday, didn't it? It snowed here Saturday evening, because it didn't get down to South Carolina until Sunday morning. And because I preached for my dad that Sunday morning on the day after Christmas, right? Am I right? Okay. If I'm not right, one of them part-timers being 40-year-old. But I remember that that was beautiful. Boy, we'd never seen nothing like that before. And but you know what's going to happen? The power eventually, your power may go out this winter. Now listen to me. Now I know some of you, you don't need a cell phone. You don't need a radio. You don't need Facebook. That's right. You don't need it. You don't need Twitter. You don't need power. You don't need a hairdryer. You don't need to be able to flush that commode. You mean you can just, you're old timey. You can just get by. You're a wilderness man, wilderness woman. But most of us, when the power goes out, if it goes out longer than 30 minutes, we're ready to pull our hair out, amen. Well, we're just, what, Jackson MC? Yes, ma'am. Listen, my power's been out, ma'am. So is the whole block. Well, I don't care about the rest of the block. I care about me, amen. My kids about drive me crazy. They can't watch Bugs Bunny anymore, amen. I can't get on the computer. I can't do nothing. And we act like that. We go crazy. Can you imagine utter darkness? And you can't even see to walk anywhere. God's going to shut down the capital of the fault. He's going to shut it down. He's going to shut it down. And the Bible says here that it will lead to this. Look at the last part of verse 10. They're going to be so annoyed and so aggravated with this continual utter darkness, they will gnaw their tongues for pain. They're going to go crazy. I heard on the radio this week, I listen to the radio a lot, sometimes XM Enlightened Station, Southern Gospel Radio, and then I listen over to Fox News, and they were talking about stress. And you know, I know nobody here knows what stress is, but they were talking about stress. And they said, if you want just a simple sign to know that you need to wind down a little bit, and you're too stressed out, when you get in the car, do you automatically have to turn the radio on? Do you got to have your cell phone everywhere you go? I purposely leave my cell phone sometimes. You may call not getting it, but I purposely do it. My wife, on the first ring, hello, how you doing? She won't even look who it is or nothing. Me? Let me leave a message. Last night, my phone was left back here. It was left there since, I think, about 8 o'clock last night. And I come got it this morning, about 8 this morning. And nobody called me. Didn't have a missed call that I know of. And but those people they got to be typing something. They got to be messing with the radio, and they got to call somebody. They got to do something, you know. They got amen. They got to do it. Well, nobody amens that, but you're a little bit too stressed out, amen. Just breathe a little bit, amen. You ever went down the road without the radio on? I have. Then I start thinking, and I turn it on. Amen. It gets me to thinking, so I turn it back on. Amen. But I'm telling you, they're going to gnaw their tongues for pain. That means to continually, persistently bite their tongues. Now, I've got to shut her down. Notice here what it says in verse number 11 again. Five plagues have fallen. Five judgments have fallen from God. And it says once again, they blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Here now is we're getting ready for the battle of Armageddon, the valley of Jezreel. Many call it the middle of the Holy Land today. You'll read about Deborah and Barak in the book of Judges. They fought a battle there in the valley of Jezreel or outside the city of Megiddo. We read about how Josiah died there in the valley where he in a battle. We know that, Alexander the Great and Napoleon both fought battles there. And now one day, this great battlefield will become the battlefield of God versus the wicked kings and the wicked armies of this world. And the river Euphrates, which is a river that is 18,000 miles long, 1,800 miles long, it is 10 to 30 feet deep. It is 900 to 3,600 feet wide. It's going to be dried up by God. So these people, these kings, can cross over and gather and camp around Jerusalem to fight God's people, the Jews and Israel. I read our moron, defense secretary was speaking to the joint conference of Israel and America. They had the American flag and Israel's flag there behind him while he was speaking. And he was blaming Israel for holding off the peace talks with the Palestinians. And he said a few cuss words in reference to Israel. Listen to me, I'm telling you something. Israel's still God's people. And when the United States gets to the place where we don't support Israel, I don't believe everything that Israel does is right. No. But Israel has voted with the United States 97% of the time in the United Nations. There is no other two countries that have voted the same in voting in the United Nations as has the United States and Israel. 97% of the time. People say we give them too much aid. Do you know that it's like 85-86% of the aid we give Israel, they put it right back in our economy by buying our military supplies? They don't give you the whole story on that liberal CNN and all the other garbage from hell. They don't give you that. They're against God's people. Amen. You're welcome. They're against them. And these morons that want to stand and fight, I don't want to fight Israel. They're finally going to get upset with Israel and all these armies going to say, let's just get together and wipe them off the face of the globe. And God's going to stand up and say, you're not going to do it. I'm going to fight for them. And He's going to fight for them. And let's wrap this sermon. Let's land this plane. Look what it says now. The Bible says in verse 13 that three unclean spirits like frogs came out of the mouth of the dragon, which was Satan. Came out of the mouth of the beast, which is the false Christ, Antichrist. Came out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth. And the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. The Bible says that the dragon, Satan, and his two followers, the Antichrist, false Christ, and false prophet. Why is he considered the false prophet? Because he teaches false doctrine and he follows a false Christ. All three of this, the satanic trinity. The Bible says that these unclean spirits, like frogs, will come from their mouths. What is that a picture of? It is a picture of deception. They will deceive the nations. They will deceive the nations in coming together as a confederacy against Israel. But God is behind it all because God is fixing to wipe them out. And it says in verse 15, it says, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, for they see his shame. You know what verse 15 is referenced to? Have you ever had to run out of the house because of an emergency, a house fire, or because of whatever it may be? And you didn't have time to put on your jacket and tie, did you? Amen? I don't know. Maybe you had to run out in your boxer shorts. I don't know. You might get in that position where you ain't got time to find the blue jeans and the t-shirt. Amen? You got to get out of the house. And that's what it's referring to. It says when Jesus comes back for this battle, that people are going to be asleep. That means they're going to be lost. And they're going to be lost. And because they're lost, when Jesus comes, they're going to be naked. which means they will be without the righteousness of Christ. They'll be without salvation. They will not be enrobed with the righteousness of Christ. Therefore, they are damned to hell. And the Bible says, but those that do have the garments, they're white garments. Their spotless garment. We are covered. We've been imputed the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. I hope you got your garment on. If you're lost today in God's eyes, spiritually you're naked. Spiritually you're naked. I'm glad I'm clothed with the righteousness of Jesus. And verse 16 and 17, let's close. And he gathered them together, who? The wicked armies, the wicked kings, all those that followed the false Christ and Satan. He gathered them in Armageddon. The word Armageddon speaks about the Mount of Megiddo. There was a city of Megiddo. Whenever the children of Israel were given property of the Middle East or the Promised Land, the descendants of Manasseh, you remember Manasseh was the child of Joseph, he was given the land of Megiddo, but yet he could not conquer it. It was King David that finally went and conquered the city of Megiddo in this place when he was ruling and reigning in his glory and height as the king of Israel. The Philistines lived there, and it was a Canaanite land, and yet he conquered them. Now the Assyrians, after that, the Assyrians came in, the Assyrian great empire, they came in, they took it. And then we know that today it lies there, and it's the what we call the middle of the Holy Land. But they're going to gather in this valley. It's a very large valley. It is the only pass to the northeast through the mountains of Megiddo. It is a prime, Alexander the Great said, there was no greater battlefield than the valley of Jezreel or the valley of Megiddo, Armageddon. And here they will gather. And they will think that they're going to destroy Israel and destroy their religion and their God. But look what it says in verse number 18. There were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as were not since man were upon the earth. So mighty earthquake, so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon. Babylon is in reference. We'll see more of this in chapter 17, 18. It's in reference to the kingdom of the Antichrist. Great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of His wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven. Every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail. For the plague thereof was exceeding great. The seventh plague is now come. This angel pours it out. The Bible says that it's in reference, and we'll see more of this in 17, 18, and 19. To the last battle, the Battle of Armageddon. But the Bible says specifically there's going to be some great hailstones that will fall from heaven. And it says it weighs about a talent. Can I share with you what a talent weighs? A talent, the Hebrew talent, weighs 115 pounds. The Egyptian talent weighs 86 pounds. The Greek talent weighs 86 pounds also. These are not just little ping pong ball size hails. These are not little even baseball size. These are not volleyball size. These are not basketball size. These are hail that are weighing around 100 pounds. And these heated hail pieces that weigh almost around 100 pounds are falling from God. And the Bible says God is letting His wrath pour out. And instead of men and women turning to God and repenting, the Bible says that they blasphemed God and they would not repent of their wickedness. How sad. I want to ask you today, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You say, preacher, I don't believe anything you just said today. Friend, You may not believe it because I said it. And you may not believe it because God's Word teaches it. But one day you will believe it because you'll experience it. You'll see it firsthand. I hope today that you know Jesus Christ and that the wrath of God's not abiding on you, but now you've turned to Him and it's not the wrath of God that's falling on you. But you can stand today as this preacher and say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind spiritually, but now my eyes have been opened. I hope you can say that it's not the wrath of God that falls upon you, but now it's the love of God. Showers of God's love that falls upon you. The Bible says that Jesus died for you. He gave His life's blood for you. Say, preacher, that ain't the kind of God I believe in. I'm sorry, friend, there's not but one God anyway. And just like there's two sides to a quarter, two different images on a quarter, that you need to understand that, yeah, God is love. God proved that He's love by giving His Son for our sins. So we wouldn't have to die and go to hell. Jesus came and shed His blood. That shows us God's love. That you're here today, hearing this preaching, shows you God loves you. Shows you God's mercy on you. Every one of us, if it hadn't been for the mercy of God, we could be in hell right now. But God loves us. But yet you need to understand that God also is a righteous and a holy God. And God hates sin. And the reason He hates sin is because, number one, it destroyed the fellowship God had with man. Adam and Eve walked with God. They sinned. They were separated from God. It destroys our fellowship with God when we sin. The second reason He hates sin is because it was sin. Because of sin, His Son had to die on the cross. You know, I'll just use this example. You know the story of my daughter's leukemia. And you know the battle that we had. And you know what God did for her. Glory to God. But what I've seen cancer do to my daughter, and what I've seen it do to her life, and to made her sick, and all the things that she went through. Well, I've seen that today. I'm telling you, I have a hatred for cancer. I hate it. I despise it. I despise the word. Why? Because it could have took my daughter from me. How much more? Something that took His Son from Him. And because of that sin, our sins, His Son spread His arms on the cross and shed His blood. And His Father had to turn His back on His Son because God cannot look upon sin. And God poured His wrath on His only Son. If I hate cancer today because it almost took my daughter, how much more do you think God hates sin because it nailed His Son to a cross? God hates sin. But the good news is, God loves the sinner. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says, flee the wrath of God to come. You know, the tribulation period is sad to read, but that's not nothing compared to what hell is going to be like. Hell is eternal. And that's the worst thing about hell is not the fire. It's not the screaming and those that will be cussing God forever. It will not be the continual falling. It will not be the utter darkness. The worst thing about hell is that you'll be forever separated from Jesus Christ. The very one that could have saved you from that place, you'll be forever separated from Him. Is that what you choose today? Do you choose to be separated? Do you choose to reject Jesus? If you're not careful, you'll get your wish for all eternity. And He'll never speak to your heart again. Today's the day of salvation. It's time to get saved today. You that are saved, it's time to get right. It's time to get right. It's time to live for the Lord. You'll have those that have falsely accused you, as you've seen in my life. They'll falsely accuse you and try to call you things and say, He's not this, He's not that. But you know in your heart that you're living for Jesus. And you know that Satan doesn't bark at a parked car. If you're going to live for the Lord, He's going to try to knock you down. You live for the Lord. Live for Jesus. And you'll not regret it. Amen. I want you to stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. This altar's open if you'd like to come. This morning, this altar's open. You take the opportunity this morning and you pray and God's dealt with your heart. Maybe you need to be saved. Today's the day to be saved in your life. I wouldn't put it off another day. I wouldn't say, I'll do it some other time. Why don't you do it today? Why don't you give your life to Jesus Christ? Right now, if you want to be saved, all you need to do is, if God's dealt with your heart, say, Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I've sinned against You. I've rejected Your Son's sacrifice on the cross many times. But Lord, now, I'm here to repent. Lord, now I'm here, Lord, to ask You to forgive me. And I'm here, Lord, to ask You to save me. Lord, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I want to be Your child. I don't want the wrath of God to fall upon me, Lord. I want You to remove it. By Your grace and by Your mercy, Lord, touch me with Your love and Your grace. And He'll do that today. If you're here today saved and you're away from God, you know you are. You know you're not where you are to be with Jesus. You know, this preacher don't have to preach to you. You know it because the Holy Spirit abides in your heart if you're saved. And He lets you know that you're not doing right. He lets you know that what you're saying, what you're doing, how you're living, where you're going is not right. He lets you know. He lets you know. We've got to hear His voice today. Why don't you hear Him today and get that right with Him? Why don't you say, Lord, forgive me. That sin is besetting me from doing what I ought to do for Jesus. Please do that today. Please do that today. This altar's open. You take your time and you pray this morning. Let God deal with your heart. Obey the Lord this morning. Please leave here closer to Jesus than what you came in this morning. I care about you. I care about your soul. I want you to be saved. I want you to be serving. I want you to be living for Jesus. Won't you give your life to the Lord? I want to ask you, no one's looking around while these are finishing around the altar and those that are finishing praying in their pew. Please, no one look around. Please. Abide by that. No one looking around. It's a very personal time. Preacher, I'm lost. I want to give my heart to Jesus. Or preacher, I have gave my heart to Jesus this morning. I've made sure of my salvation this morning. Anybody like that at all? Raise your hand. Anybody like that? Anybody say, preacher, I know I'm saved, but I'm not where I ought to be. And God's been too good to me to not live for Him. Preacher, I want to live for Jesus. Pray for me, preacher. Anybody like that today? God bless you. God bless you. Lord, you see the hands that were raised. Lord, one of the greatest blessings about being a pastor and a preacher, a counselor, a teacher of the God's Word is to see how it works in people's heart and see people get honest with themselves and with God. Lord, You already know our heart. You already know our heart. And Lord, You know, Lord, about the hands that were raised, and You even know the hands that were not raised that should have been. I pray that in Jesus' name You would please, Lord, help these that have raised their hand. They want to live for You. Whatever sin is keeping them away from Your will, Lord, please help them to have victory. I pray, Lord, as we go our separate ways today, that we'll honor You this afternoon. We'll not only act like Christians while we're sitting in a pew at a church, but Lord, as we go out in the public places, Lord, we'll serve You with all our heart. Help us to be a witness. And thank You, Lord, that we're saved from the wrath to come. Thank You for what You've done today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible says in John chapter number 14 that Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ, and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.